If you have your Bibles, please turn to Genesis chapter 23. It's found on page 20 of your church Bibles. And I've been doing this long enough to where I know when congregations are already nervous. You know, you're saying, boy, it looks like you're supposed to cover like three different chapters of the book of Genesis, and you only have so much more time. So, you know, I think we're going to try to allay some of those fears. I'm going to do my best to get through some of this. We're not going to read all of chapters 23 through 25, of course. But Bob and I have been sharing a series on the book of Genesis, looking primarily at the faith of Abraham and how this father of our faith in many ways is exemplary in some ways, but yet not always in a positive sense about what our faith should or shouldn't look like. And so, if you're following with me, chapter 23 deals with the death of Abraham's wife Sarah, and then chapter 24 deals with Abraham sending his son, his servant, away to find a wife for his son Isaac, and Isaac eventually finds Rebekah, as we're going to see in chapter 24. And then in chapter 25, we see the death of Abraham. And so those are the three chapters that we're going to look at today. And again, we don't have time to read through the whole three chapters, but we will be making references to those scriptures. I had shared this with you several months ago, I believe, but there was a slave trader by the name of John Newton, that I'm sure you perhaps are aware of John Newton, but he wrote a hymn, and it was published in 1773, and it wasn't a real popular hymn at first, but he published it in the little town that he served, and he included it, and every week he and another poet by the name of William Cooper would write different songs to Bible studies that Newton would lead, and Newton penned this one song, and he titled the song Faith's Review and Expectation. Isn't that a great title? Faith's Review and Expectation. Has anyone here ever sang that song? Do you know what we know that song by the name of today? The first line, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. It saved a wretch like Abraham and me. So, of course, the song is about faith's review. You're looking back at your life at what God has done. But also the expectation of faith, precisely grounded on the review, because God has been faithful to us in the past. He will be faithful to us in the future. We can expect that. And you see that type of sentiment in just about every line in this song. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. Can anybody say yes? That's my life. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. That's faith's review. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Grace, that's faith's expectation. So that's the title to today's message, is Faith's Review and Expectation. The big idea, if we're going to look at chapters 23 through 25, I thought that title to Newton's song fit perfectly, I think, what the writer to the book of Genesis was trying to do for the nation of Israel, as they looked back at how God had brought them out of bondage, and now they're perhaps getting ready to enter into the promised land, the first people who read these stories, and can God be trusted? Is God a trustworthy God? Is He good? I'm looking at this ragtag bunch of Israelites, if you will, and we've been wandering around for 40 years. And by the way, that the promises made to Abraham, these are 400 years later. Do you think they doubted that God was going to fulfill His promise when they looked back at their history. How about you? Have you been waiting 400 years for some of God's promises to come true in your life? I don't think you've been waiting that long, but don't we sometimes doubt? Or at least you know some people that doubt from time to time. Well, what strengthens our faith, a faith that works, you review what God has done up to this point. And if you see that He's brought you safe thus far, His grace will lead you home as well. So I want to look at just a couple of different ideas about a faith that works. A faith that works includes both review and expectation. First of all, faith embraces an already not yet mentality. A faith that works, a faith that is not just head knowledge or just I believe in certain facts of things I've read or been catechized in or whatever, all good stuff. But a faith that works, it goes beyond just mere head knowledge, but it seeps into our lives and we look to the future with expectation and joy. But faith embraces an already not yet mentality. If you look at chapter 23, now I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. It says here that Sarah lived to be 127 years old. She died at Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham went to mourn for Sarah and to weep over her. Then Abraham rose from beside his dead wife and spoke to the Hittites. He said, "I am an alien and a stranger among you. Sell me some property for a burial site here so I can bury my dead." The Hittites replied to Abraham, "Sir, listen to us. You are a mighty prince among us. Bury your dead in the choicest of our tombs. None of us will refuse you his tomb for burying your dead." And it's interesting the details that go on with this haggling. And Abraham insisted on buying this property. What's so important about that? Why all this detail? Because when the Israelites would look back and read and they'd see these stories, they're saying, "Look, this land is ours." And even though it was a small portion, it was this whole dynamic of already, not yet, that would be illustrated by Abraham's life. Already I own a little piece of this property that God has promised. And in fact, God, as far as God was concerned, Abraham owned all of the property, but legally he only owned this little piece. Already, not yet. You know, in real estate, they have this little mantra that says location, 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 right? And that's really the readers, when they looked at this, they're saying, "Wait a second, where did Abraham purchase this land?" Oh, yeah, it's in the land of Canaan, the land that God promised us. So there's an already and not yet. One of my favorite Bible teachers, Warren Wiersbe, I loved what he said about this. I think it summed it up in a kind of a humorous sort of way, but he said, "Abraham owned the whole land, but the only piece of property that was legally his was a tomb. If the Lord Jesus does not return to take us to heaven, the only piece of property each of us will own in this world will be a plot in the cemetery. But what good will that do us except, you know, whatever? So we will take nothing with us and we will leave it all behind. But if we are investing in things eternal, we can send it ahead. If we live by faith, then we can die by faith. And when you die by faith, you have a wonderful future." Isn't that neat how he said that? Already, not yet. Faith embraces an already, not yet. I plead with you this morning, if you think that your faith is complete, and there's no areas for you to learn to trust God more, we need to have a chat afterwards, because I need to get a little bit of what you're drinking, maybe. I don't know. Already, not yet. I mean, this is all through Genesis chapter 23 through 25. Look at this already aspect real quickly. Turn to chapter 25, verses 7 through 11. And so now the writer is recording Abraham's death. Altogether, Abraham lived 175 years. Then Abraham breathed his last and died at a good old age, and an old man and full of years, and he was gathered to his people. His sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah near Mamre in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar the Hittite, the field Abraham had bought from the Hittites. So you see the writers reasserting this all over and over again, wanting to, the Israelites 400 years from now to realize that we own this land. It was purchased. I mean, we don't have it in the full yet, but it's an already not yet type of perspective. And the writer wanted to really stress that. He said, there Abraham was buried with his wife Sarah. After Abraham's death, God blessed his son Isaac, who then lived near Beer Lahai Roy. Blessed his son Isaac. So there's this idea of that we're here in this land. We've been given this land. We've been promised this land by God himself. Faith embraces an already not yet mentality. How about the not yet part? These are very little details, but look at chapter 25, verse 18. So Ishmael, remember Ishmael? Ishmael is a product of Abraham trying to help God out. Anybody here ever try to help God out? God, you need my help. So Ishmael's descendants settled in the area from Havilah to Shur, near the border of Egypt, as you go toward Ashur. And they lived in hostility toward all their brothers. Isn't that interesting? So yes, Israelites, God has promised you the land. It's an already locked in promise that He will fulfill. But by the way, there's going to be hostility along the way. So you're going to have to trust me through this whole journey. An already not yet mentality. I love, I actually just heard this morning, and it just really resonated with me. I was listening to a podcast, and they said this: part of what it means to be a believer, part of what it means to be a believer is that you are a little bit sad all the time. Think about that. God's made all these incredible promises, and I'm with my faith, I'm looking toward the future, but when I look at today, it's just, and there's a groaning, a moaning. And you say, well, where do you get that, you know, a little bit sad all the time? And again, we're not saying this is the whole of the Christian life. We're just saying that a part of what it means to be a believer is that you are a little bit sad all the time. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I mean, this is everywhere in the New Testament, but let me just read you a few verses. We know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, that is, these bodies, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. There's faith's expectation. Meanwhile, what? Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. And on Paul goes. But there's, you know, I like to remind people who struggle with depression or discouragement from time to time that if you are not moaning and groaning in your spirit, longing to be clothed, that might be a good indication that you're not a Christian. One of the very definitions of being a believer is that you realize that there's a longing, that God has a home for us. And until we get there, we moan at times and we groan at times, longing to be clothed. Faith embraces this already not yet mentality. When you read at the end of Abraham's life, it just seems, wow, did he see his promise fulfilled of being in the land with all of his descendants? He didn't see it. Hebrews chapter 11. Just let me read you a couple verses there. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. After the writer was talking about by faith Abraham, by faith Sarah, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. There's faith's review and expectation. They looked back at God's faithfulness, which enabled them to look toward their heavenly home with an expectation that this is as good as gold. But they never saw the complete fulfillment of the promises. I love verse 39 of Hebrews 11. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. I mean, that's a whole other message we could talk about, but be careful of preachers and teachers out there that will say, if you just have enough faith, this will happen. Kind of depends on what they mean by this, I suppose, but you get the gist. Sometimes people will overpromise you things if you just have enough faith. When I read Scripture, there's a huge tension in a faith that works. A faith that works has, yeah, there's an element of already, but don't ever forget the not yet. Don't forget that. It embraces this already, not yet mentality. Some of you know, I'm pretty excited. Next Sunday after church, I get to leave with some other pastors. We're going to drive 9 hours north to go to Ontario, and we're going to go on a wilderness hike, I guess, for 6 days. No, we're going to be out there 7 days hiking. And, you know, I was reading something the other day. Someone said, many people you meet will ask you about your hiking vacation. And the writer said, but I personally find that a through hike, and this isn't quite a through hike at all. A through hike is hiking a long distance trail beginning to end in one hiking season. But it's still a pretty long hike with all this stuff on your back and you're getting to be an old man. And he says, I personally find that a through hike is like a low-paying full-time job. You log 10 to 16 hours a day of hard work, walking all day long for mediocre food before collapsing into your sleeping bag. Make no mistake, this kind of hike is definitely not a six-month vacation or a six, seven-day vacation. Faith embraces an already, not yet mentality. We groan. Part of what it means to be a believer is that you are a little bit sad all the time. Not saying you have to go out and feel depressed. Pastor Bob said we have to feel depressed today. We groan. Abraham's still looking for the fulfillment of his promise. So, with all that said, just, you know, sometimes the object of our faith, that's the Lord Himself, and His blessings are felt. I mean, you'll have a really good day, right? Really good week, really good month, really good whatever. And so you're experiencing the already aspect of God's blessings, but at other times the dynamic of not yet will be more felt. There'll be sadness, threats, pain, depression, discouragement, the trials of life loom large. Our faith is always in motion. It's always in motion. A faith that works embraces both review and expectation. So, second point I want to make. The success of our journey is up to God. The success of our journey is up to God. I wish I had more time to really unfold a lot of this, but if you're looking especially at chapters 24, you see this idea as Abraham sends his servant to look for a wife for Isaac. Over and over again, we see this idea of my success, my success, my success. Now, for example, look at chapter 24, verse 12. Then he prayed, that is Abraham's servant, O Lord God of my master Abraham, give me success today and show kindness to my master Abraham. Chapter 24, verse 21. Without saying a word, the man watched her closely, that is Rebekah, to learn whether or not the Lord has made his journey successful. Chapter 24, verse 27. As for me, the Lord has led me on the journey to the house of my master's relatives. So this idea of journeying again, and chapter 24, verse 40, this idea of journey and success, he replied, "The Lord before whom I have walked will send his angel with you and make your journey a success so that you can get a wife for my son and for my own clan and for my father's family." Verse 56, "But he said to them, 'Do not detain me now that the Lord has granted success to my journey.'" Again, I wish that we could read all the details between all these references that I'm giving you, but the point that I see in this chapter is that the success of our journey is up to how good of Christians we can be, right? I hope we're good Christians, whatever that is. I don't know. I mean, I think Jesus once said, why do you call me good? There's only one that's good. I'm not sure there's any good Christians among us. It's okay. The success of our journey, it's up to Him. His sovereignty, if you look at chapter 24, verses 14 and 44, that is this the woman that you have chosen? Is this the one that you have chosen? And then God's kindness, or this, you know, one of the most famous words in the Old Testament is chesed. And if you want to get really close, I could say it again, and you'll notice that spit comes out. But I don't want to do that to you. But it's God's kindness, His chesed, that God has shown me kindness and success in my journey. That's such a relief. The success of my journey, of your journey. If you and I ever make it to heaven, it's not because necessarily we had the impeccable theology, even though I trained and read and studied for years to have good theology, not against good theology. There's going to be a lot of people with good theology in hell. The success of our journey will be up to God. His kindness, His sovereignty, Him holding on to us. Have you ever, anybody ever told you, just hold on a little longer to God? Just keep holding. You ever seen that raccoon poster, you know, hang in there, baby, hold on, or whatever? That's okay, I guess, but what, do you ever get tired? You say, I can't hold on anymore. Just can't do it. The success. Just read chapter 24 over and over again. The success of my journey. The success of my journey. It lies in the sovereignty of God and in the kindness of God. You know, as I get ready to go on that hike next week, if I can make an analogy, because I mean, hiking and walking and journeying is a very common metaphor for the Christian life. Get the best gear that you can get. Get the best boots, water filter, sleeping, you know, train, get ready and plan and look at the topography of you know, the ups and downs, and get good trek. Yeah, prepared and do your best. But any honest hiker will realize I got from point A to point B not because I'm such a great hiker, but because I had help along. Some hikers call it trail magic. I'm not equating grace with magic, but you know, if you and I make it to be in the presence of God, and if we enjoy His presence today, it's not because we're so great, it's because of His kindness, His sovereignty. I was watching a video the other day. It was titled, "Celebrities Join Street Performers for Surprising Duet." And they showed these famous singers coming alongside these street performers who are actually quite good in and of themselves, but the street performers would stand there and all of a sudden the celebrities stand behind them singing the songs that the performers were singing. You know, it sounded so much better with the two of them together. The success of our journey, it's not up to your grit and determination. It's up to God, His sovereignty, His kindness. So, let me just encourage you to look back on your life. I know some of you are following the outline here. Ask God to show you how He has led and cared for you. And may this review of faith give you a joyful expectation of the future, that He will keep caring for you and fulfilling His promises. And please don't read that as, He will keep caring for me and fulfilling His promises if I'm as good as Abraham. As we heard in our children's message, there's no heroes in Scripture but one. You can model your faith on Abraham if you want to, and there are some exemplary aspects of his faith, but there are also some shameful things. And he died with an expectation that I'm going to be back in this land. There's read the end of Genesis, by the way. Joseph said, take my bones from Egypt and bury them in this promised land. What was that about? Expectation. Expectation. God will keep caring for you. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, He, being confident of this, He who began a good work in you. Who began it? He began it. He will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And finally, after that faith passage in Hebrews 11, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So a faith that works includes both review, look back at what God has done, so you can expect this glorious future.